Sunday, September the 8th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind this morning already. There's more to come. But we've had goodbyes, we've had encouragements, and we are going to have some welcomes as well. We're going to turn it around, don't worry. But isn't that the joy of doing life together as a church? Isn't that the beautiful depth and richness of life that we get to experience together when we do it all together as well? The emotion of difficult goodbyes, but they're so full of life as well. And the joy of seeing lives changed by the truth that Jesus puts in hearts. Isn't that the John 10:10 life to the full that we get to experience? Because it doesn't just mean being happy and joy-filled all the time, but it means depth and it means richness and it means emotion. It means life well lived, that there's things to cry about, that there's things to be emotional about as we move on into new things. As a youth group, we're getting quite used to difficult goodbyes. We've done a few of those over the last year or so. But yet, a quote that I've heard a few times recently is this, that the glory of God is man fully alive, is mankind a person fully alive in what God has put in their heart. And isn't that so true of what we're seeing this morning in the encouragement, in the testimonies of what Jesus is doing, but also in the goodbyes of the people who've lived so truly to what Jesus has put on their hearts, that they've been fully alive, and we see the glory of God in that as well. So this morning, I just want to say a couple of things about the theme from this year's DTI. As Baz mentioned, the theme was stand firm. And this phrase is used all throughout the Bible. So what does it mean? What were we talking about at DTI? It's a phrase used all throughout Scripture. Paul uses it a lot in the letters that he wrote in the New Testament. It's used in the Psalms and the Proverbs, so the poetry and the wisdom of the Old Testament. And it's used a lot even in the narrative books of the Old Testament as God commands his people to stand firm in what he's doing in them. So it means it's telling us to have some grit to our faith. It's telling us to take that seriously. It's telling us to be resilient in our faith and in what we believe, to be unshakable in what God tells us and what God instills in us. So all of these things that we've heard testimonies of this morning, it's going beyond that and standing firm, like we heard a lot as well. It's how it changes our lives consistently, not just in a moment. So there are three things that I want to highlight that this phrase is this morning. So it's a command, it's an encouragement, and it's a prayer. So we're going to go into those for a minute. So it's a command. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Galatians 5:1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Stand firm." Ephesians 6, as it talks about the armor of God, tells us to stand firm and put on the armor of God. So on several occasions, we're commanded to stand firm in different things, to resist temptation, to live in freedom, to put on the armor of God, just to name a few that come up through Scripture. And all of these things are brought together by the fact that we are doing the will of God by doing them. So God is commanding us to do these things because it will put us in right relationship with him. It will help us in our relationship with him to stand firm in all of these things, to obey what he's commanded, because his commands are for our good as well as his, because our good is his good. And for all of these things to happen, we need to stand firm. So it's a command. It's also an encouragement. Because that might sound quite overwhelming, to have to stand firm in all of those things. That sounds difficult. You might be thinking, oh, little old me can't stand firm in all of those things. How can I do that? How can I go on from what I've experienced and continue in that? That sounds really difficult. That sounds challenging. But here comes the encouragement. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 to 24. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I call God as my witness, and I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Now that we, not that we lord it over you, over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. God makes us stand firm, and it's by faith that we can stand firm. So that's an encouragement, isn't it? None of this we're doing by ourselves. None of this we're doing in our own strength. We're not just holding on as tightly as we can to these things we've experienced to try and continue in them, but we lean into God in this. We see that in the ease of his rhythms and the ease of what he's doing in us, we can stand firm. By faith, God makes us stand firm. It's his strength, not ours, in these situations. And I think that's such an encouragement, because otherwise, how difficult would it be to do it ourselves? So it's a command, it's an encouragement, and it's also a prayer. So finally, this phrase is a prayer. Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Is this our attitude towards others standing firm in the faith? Is this our prayer? Are we wrestling in prayer for others? Are we wrestling in prayer for the youth of our church? As they've experienced these things, are we praying that they would stand firm as they go from here? If we're not, I challenge you to say that we need to. For what we experienced, what these young people experience at DTI, is then mixed, thrown back in with school and everything that culture tells them that isn't aligned with the truth that they've heard and they've experienced at DTI. The experience of being young now is not easy. It's not easy for any of us in culture to stand firm in what the truth we know is in Jesus, because we're given so many other truths by the world. So we need prayer, and we need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our young people and for this generation that's rising up. Because without our prayer, what can they do? How can they stand firm? So we need your prayer. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 8 says this, "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." For now we really live, for you are standing firm in the Lord. Who felt alive hearing testimonies from young people this morning? I did. It's something that makes us feel alive in our own faith if we see others standing firm in theirs. It brings us life to see that. So shouldn't we be praying that in? Shouldn't we be encouraging that? Isn't that the whole point of us sharing our experience this morning? Is that we can together as a church feel alive in what God is doing for our young people. So let's really live by seeing and praying in a faith-filled generation for our church. Would we see that in our church? Would we pray that in each moment? Not just in the highs of DTI, but in the week to week, would we be upholding them in our prayers? So would the band come and join me for a minute? I'll pray. And then we're going to hear a song that some of our young people wrote whilst they were away at DTI, which I'm very excited to hear fully for the first time. And I hope it encourages you as you listen. But maybe take this opportunity as you listen to them singing to pray for them, to pray for this youth group, to pray for these young people. So actively listen to the words that they're saying and pray them and pray for these young people. So I'll pray, and then Coley will lead us into the song. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the encouragements that we're hearing and the fullness of life that is in this way of living as your people. The encouragement, the emotion, all of it mixed in together. Would we pray for this generation? Lord, I pray now for this youth group, for these young people who've experienced you profoundly. Would they go from here in assurance and confidence of what you have done in their lives? Would they go desiring to share that with their friends at school, with the people around them? that they wouldn't keep this to themselves, but they would encourage one another and also encourage others who don't yet know you. So pray for them as they lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.